All right, we are here at a leadership conference just talking about what we believe leadership is going to look like in the next 10 years. So what do y'all think? Does anybody have an idea of what that's going to look like?
So my name is Mr. Dan. I'm coming from an education background, so I'm a little biased. But I think leadership in the next 10 years is going to look like people actually giving a damn and wanting to connect. Mm. You know, if leaders actually don't want to connect and their whole purpose is just to get that cash and not actually build that impact, they're going to just be wiped out.
That's a really good point. I think the irony in that, right, is that we look at the youngest generation and we have a generation, the youngest generation full of entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I don't know yet if they are building, but they are definitely about the cash. So I think I like your theory. I just wonder how it overlaps with one another, with what the trends are and what you believe as well.
Yeah. Well, when you provide impact, you create value. So cash is going to happen, but there's too much just not good ideas out there that aren't actually connecting people and bringing people together. Mm-hmm. And the more we keep getting farther out in society about that, the more we're going to want to pull each other in and actually have real connection.
Makes
be
sense.
Insta-fam, not Instagram.
Bam, right there. That's where it is.
I mean, as part of the younger generation, I understand where you guys are coming from. But at the same time, we might be seeing a bunch of entrepreneurs in my generation, but there's also a lot of us who actually do care. But we're trying to become entrepreneurs so we can actually get our voices heard, because you see how our whole election process is. We have a guy who can't even, like, we have a guy who's bankrupted 3 businesses as president. So in order for us to actually get seen, we're trying to actually get businesses out there, because that's the only way we know we're going to get seen. And that's sad, because that's what they teach us in school. You're not going to get seen unless you're a business owner or unless you're going to do something big, which is how we're taught, like, at least here in Florida, that's what we're told in school. Unless you're going to do something big, you're not going to be seen. And no one's going to hear you.
I think for leadership, right, in the next 10 years, I think previously, and a lot of people who are, like, in senior level positions in companies and institutions, right, they kind of got there because they have moved up the ranks, right? And so we've known people who are CEOs and presidents because they either knew somebody or they've been at the same place for like 20, 30 years, and so they just got the position. They don't have necessarily the skill sets or the awareness to be able to build these relationships or to do what leaders are supposed to do. And so I think in the next 10 years, we're going to start seeing programs and initiatives and newer blood coming in, kind of like what you saw with these midterm elections, with people who have been taught how to be leaders and taught how to be civic and servant leadership and taught to have like this mindset of connecting with others and building off of that. And I think that in the next 10 years, our leadership is going to look different, not just physically, but in what they say and what they do and their actions and just like what we talk about leadership, how we do that type of stuff and how we do that work. I think it's going to change dramatically, because we're going to go from an era of people who kind of got into leadership just by luck, and to, you know, for people to get into leadership by choice and by skill set. And so I think that in the next 10 years, we're going to see the wave in all facets of our lives.
I think that in the next 10 years, what we're really going to see is millennials making a difference. As part of an older generation, I know that they trash talk millennials. I wish I were a millennial. Millennials care. They are outgoing. They are determined. And they will make a change because they care about what they're passing on. And so we have really done a disservice to the millennials by sort of giving them like a dumpster fire of a world that they are responsible for fixing. And it's the first time I've seen an entire generation of people actually want to fix it. And so in 10 years, there are going to be a whole bunch of leaders that I will be proud to be aligned with instead of actively working to bring down.
Myself, Justin Jones, SGA President, Penn State, Harrisburg campus. I think it's important when we talk about 10 years, right? It's important to talk about something that's constantly evolving, technology, right? So I think leadership in 10 years is being completely aware of the digital world, right? Like, things are changing rapidly. Like, we're getting to a point where I think Google said they're going to release their flying car next year. You know, something a couple of years ago felt like 2029, when it's right around the corner now. Technology is changing things in the way people go about things and the way people lead, right? So instead of, you know, we have stuff like Zoom now, which are changing meetings. You know, I can have a meeting with somebody in Puerto Rico from New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, technology is really changing things. So I think it's important to touch on not just where leadership is going, but where technology is going with leadership. Because to be honest, everything is digital now, right? Like, the fact that we have something like LinkedIn that is so important, right? A social platform for people that is so important now just for getting jobs is something that your generation or my mom's generation would have never thought ever would be a thing, right? But that's becoming prevalent now. So I think it's something interesting to really talk about.
Anybody want to add to the conversation? I mean, we already brought up a few things. One is how the millennial population is kind of helping to guide the next 10 years. We talked about a little bit about technology, some of the social construct, political construct. I'm wondering if there's any other factors that you believe are going to play a role in the next 10 years.
I think what I've been seeing recently, and it's something that us as millennials have said was not happening, but what I've been noticing is that from students are becoming more active as far as like politically and really wanting their rights to be heard. So I think as time goes on, they're actually going to be changing our climate for the better. Like just at Seton Hall, they didn't like how certain policies were going, so they protested and they didn't stop until they got what they wanted. And I just think that that's going to be something that keeps evolving, because I think the students now are more determined to get what they want. I'm not saying the millennials aren't. I just think like the phase has passed where people were just allowing things to happen. I think students are being a lot more vocal. So I think as time progresses, leadership is going to look like that, like them really advocating for themselves.
I 100% agree, like with millennials and stuff. Like, the older generation thinks we get hurt easy. I just think it's because like we care so much about the world today more than they do. Like, we want to bring change so much that it affects our emotions a lot, I guess, I would say. Like with climate change, what you're saying, like climate change has been gone like overhead for the past, I don't know how many years, and now it's finally being brought up after, I don't know how many years, like 30, 40, 50 years. And now it's severely affecting us, and now the millennials, our generation, is the one that's finally making an effort to change it. And the government system, like we were saying with the voting, a lot of people didn't used to vote, millennials especially, but now this year there was like a dramatic increase in voting for millennials and that sort of stuff. And I just think the millennials are probably the key to the future, I guess. Because all the determination, all the stuff that we have, all the stuff we need, we just need to do it. We just got to put in that work.
That work right there. Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm Tessa. I know I was speaking earlier. Something that I want to build off of Gavin, who just spoke before me, they're saying about putting in the work. Not only are we going to be putting in the work, but we're also going to make sure that others who don't have a voice are heard too. Because there's a lot of populations who are marginalized, and we don't want that to happen. If our voices are being heard, other voices should be heard too. I know having friends who, unfortunately, I lost friends in Pulse 2 years ago. And after that is when we started getting heard, and it shouldn't take a tragedy for people to be, our voices to be heard. So I want, in a way, I think our generation is going to start having people be heard before tragedies happen. And I'm hoping that's what the case is going to be. Because I don't want anyone else to have to go through the tragedy of losing 7 friends because somebody can get, because people can't be heard and people are being disrespected by other people over just being yourself.
I think with also what we're seeing is like there's a trend, people want to be leaders now. Like, leadership is becoming cool almost. And so, like, people want, like, oh, I want to be cool, like, I want to be a leader, like, I want to do that. And so I think we need to capitalize on that, maximize that, and make sure that we're training the people that want to be influencers and want to be leaders on how to do that in a proper way. Like, how can you effectively lead change, and how do you be a positive influencer, right? And not use your influence for hate or for bigotry or for any of the isms that I could list forever, you know? But how do we captivate that energy, right? And I think that that's so important. So I'm seeing that now, like, through social media and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, that, you know, the Snapchat, that this leadership stuff and this wave of positivity and all this type of stuff is being cool. But how are we capitalizing on that and making sure that we're not causing, you know, hate, or we're not causing hurt, but we're actually using that in the right direction? So
I just want to add that one of the things millennials are doing, which is really amazing, is that you're inspiring those of us who are older to come back and get better educations, to learn how to support and lead you to make the world better. We recognize we sort of missed the boat on this. We'll admit it. We messed it up. But now that you guys are so fired up, we want to help you. And so just know that there are lots of older people out there that if you reach out to them and you align yourself with them, we are here and we are willing to do the work with you, because you've inspired us to go back and look and say that we didn't do the work we should have done for you. So you guys are really, really inspirational.
Well, thank you.
That's amazing. And I don't know that we often get someone who identifies in an older generation come out and speak on behalf of, you know, what we're, and we're talking about millennials, but I also want to make sure we're talking about the Generation Zs and Dean, for you, those folks that are in the first grade, you know, thinking about how they're going to be developing into leaders, you know. And I think in the next 10 years, we're going to see a lot of firsts. Mm-hmm. We're going to see a lot of the first youngest senator, first youngest, because it is now to the point where it's like, hey, y'all, we got to rally. And that doesn't mean just posting a post on Instagram, mm-hmm. or tweeting. It means going out to vote, because you mentioned it. And it's just like, why can't I be mayor? Why can't I go into my town and now be politically driven rather than just at my university? Mm-hmm. You know, and I also think, like, education is going to play a role. I think education might take a hit. I think especially optional education, because I think folks are going to potentially think about how they can be leaders outside of just college, whether it's on being a YouTube star. Like, I have people, like, I have students all the time that are mentioning YouTube stars that they are obsessed with, just as we are with, like, Drake. Like, I've seen it, the obsession that they have, because they see that person as a voice for them, a leader. And, you know, that person may not have necessarily gone to college. Or we play on apps that influence us, made by 13-year-olds, who, why does that person have to go to college? They make, like, you can't teach them, you know, as Jeff and I always talk about, like, you are not going to be able to teach that kid marketing when he's making 10 times the amount that the professor teaching marketing is. So I am concerned, and so I'm hoping that education does make that shift to now, instead of just teaching general education, there's a shift on the impact that leadership can have on their campuses, which we may be starting to see in a very loose basis. So that's what I imagine on that note. Yeah.
Just to bounce off what my man over there was saying about leadership being cool, right? It just shows you that, you know, everything has a downside, right? So with stuff like that, right, what I'm seeing now is the image of leadership is becoming cool, not actual leadership, right? So it's easy to hashtag hard work, you know, success. Everybody loves to do that, right? But I feel like that's stirring us away from doing the actual work, right? Because I know a lot of people who, you know, January 1st, you know, New Year, New Me, this stuff, right? I'm about to be a leader. Then once February 22nd comes, it's like, oh, what have you done? Nothing. I don't have a planner. What books have you read? You know, like, that's why I like, I don't remember who was talking about it in the keynote, but one thing I'm really passionate on is, like, what are you doing day by day, right? Because that's something that I'm starting to really understand adds up to the big picture, right? So instead of me saying, like, with the 24 karat gold, my man Antonio right here, right? So instead of me saying, like I was saying, that I want to pay off my loans, at least half of my student loans by the time I graduate in scholarships, right? So instead of me saying that, a more specific goal is me saying that I'm gonna fill out one scholarship application a week, right? So now that's something weekly that I can track, right? So I feel like our generation, even though leadership is becoming cool, it's becoming more, okay, how do I look, right? Mm-hmm. If I put on a suit, right? I have this amazing suit that everybody's commenting on, and I love it, right?
Fresh.
But you would never know, because I can go back home and literally not do anything.
It looks great.
Right.
Flag,
but this
burgundy.
Is, right, thank you.
Shining brings out his
thank
deltoids.
Thank you. But what's becoming dangerous is that this is just an image, right? Like, yeah. I can go back home and do nothing, and you would never know.
And all we've been talking about is how great of a leader you appear to be.
Right.
That's
dangerous.
It's dangerous.
It is, because now it gives some people an ego. Thankfully, I'm not like that. I don't take that as that, and I actually do the work. But a lot of people who, you know, they say I put a suit on, and now I'm a leader. That's not how life works, right? Mm-hmm. So I think now that's the millennials' problem. You know, we've been talking about a lot of things that we're good at, millennials, but I feel like that's our problem now. We're too focused on how we look. And now actually what we're doing in the dark, so.
Yeah, I wanted to add on to what he was saying. So everyone want to say, oh, I see this happening. I want to do this, I want to do that, but they don't put in the work. They don't do the action. They don't want to go out and vote. Like a lot of my friends, they didn't vote because, oh, our vote doesn't matter. How do you know if you're not putting the ballot, putting them, whatever, you know, I can't even talk.
You're not even, like, registering.
Yeah, registering. Right. You don't even register to vote. Yeah, so our problem is we don't put in the work. We're not doing the action. We're not going out, you know, marching down, you know, to City Hall or doing anything because we're saying, oh, it doesn't matter because it's just us, you know. What only matters is the older generation. Our younger voices doesn't matter at all. So that's an issue that we are facing, I keep seeing time by time. So yeah, we gotta work on that. And I gotta work on me talking.
You're doing great.
Okay, going to the positive side of the millennials, back when adding up to the optional education. So when I moved to the USA, like especially the area I live in, it's mostly, I don't want to be racist or anything, but it's mostly white populated. Mm-hmm. And like the older generation, like they're not cultural, they're not aware of my culture. They're not aware of my hijab. They're not aware of what I do around their surroundings. But when I go to the millennials, because of what they see in the media and this and that, they're not just about, like the older generation, they just focus on what's on the media, what the media shows, this and that. But the millennials, this generation, they're all about learning experience, so they travel, you know, they get out of the comfort zone, so like they have cultural awareness. So that's about it.
Building off of what you just said, Amara, I find that our generation is a lot more understanding and a lot more tolerant as well, because I'm mixed race, and growing up in Ocala, a lot of people weren't too nice because they saw my mom, who's Hispanic, and they saw my dad, who's white, and they assumed that my mom was working for my dad. They didn't think that my mom and my dad were married. And then they saw my aunt, who has a darker complexion than my mom, and they assumed that my mom and my aunt were lovers instead of sisters. Mm. And that's, mind you, that's an older generation. And then they see me, who's pale as anything, because, yeah, I look more like my dad. Compared to my mom, I am super pale. And they see me and they're like, oh, is she adopted? Oh, where did you adopt her from? Is she from Britain or something? Oh, brown, that's a European name, right? How's she Hispanic? And when people hear me speak Spanish from the older generation, they're like, oh, you're Hispanic? How are you Hispanic? Your last name's Brown. But in the younger generation, they hear me speak Spanish, they're like, oh, cool, where's your family from? They don't automatically assume I'm different than what I am. And in leadership, I think that's gonna be great because no one's gonna have a false like idea of what you're capable of. They're gonna be like, what are you capable of? Where's your background? Where are you guys from? So everyone can be a lot more tolerant of each other and a lot more willing to work together. And I don't think there's going to be a barrier of culture. I think more the barrier is, I think though we're going to be able to work together, I think the only barrier that we're going to have is how are we going to keep everyone on the same page, more than how are we going to not get distracted by our technology rather than what cultures we are or what languages we speak. Because we can always use a translation app if we don't understand each other. But are we going to pay attention to our cell phones more during a meeting, or are we going to be like focused on what's going on? I think that's what our main thing is going to be.
Chantel. So I'm kind of going to go backwards from what we were talking about, but I think accountability is really important, and I think going forward, that's going to be something that I would hope leadership looks like, because like we were speaking about voting and how, like you were saying, like your friends didn't vote. And so I think leaders now need to hold each other accountable, but we also need to hold our friends accountable to do certain things. And I think it's because leadership is becoming cool. It's not cool to not vote. Like, no one wants to admit the fact that they didn't vote. So I think that's what's going to start happening. I think accountability is going to be a huge part of leadership, and I really hope that it does become, because I think that's going to really be the change when we check each other on things.
I'm really intrigued, and I want to go back to, and I want to ask a question to the group, because Justin, I think you touched upon this idea, and Chantel, you started to reiterate, so we can bring it back a little bit about how, like, leadership is becoming cool. Everyone wants to be a leader. We look at, you know, LeBron James in the sports field, and you're like, that is the greatest leader, right? We look at, yeah, King of LA. Yeah, can't get that song out of my head since I've been here. And so I wonder if anyone here has any concerns about the oversaturation of leadership. And do you think that in the next 10 years, we may have some difficulty with actually identifying a leader?
Mr. Dane here. Friends call me Honey Bear. Anyways, I think personally that if individuals are in a place of power and they're not coming from their heart, so if you're listening to this right now, do a self-check. If you're in a place of power in any part of your life and you're not coming from your heart, remove yourself right now. Step back, have someone step up. And then if you're coming from your heart, then connect it with your mind. And that's when we can do some serious damage.
That was deep, man.
For me, when I work with student leaders and when I work with students, man, I think my biggest thing is, I think students have bright ideas, man, and they're visionaries and they want to change the world and want to tackle stuff. I think the difficult part is trying to harness that, and like kind of like what I was talking about earlier, and being able to give direction and plan effectively on how to do it, right? And so like when I work with student leaders, so I advise a couple of club organizations, and when I meet with the president, I say before I start the meeting, I open up a draft email. And before we leave, I said, there's going to be three things in this email that I'm going to send to you that my expectation is that by next week when we meet for our one-on-one again, that they're going to be done. And it's okay if all those three things are not done, but I want to know that at least an update on these three things, right? And so holding the leaders accountable to make sure that they're getting this stuff done is important, because like they feel like the plan is just not there. Like, the goals are there, the drive is there, but the day-to-day plan, like you were talking about, the day-to-day plan, the week-to-week plan is just not there. And how is it that we, you know, as advisors, as mentors, as leaders, can help guide each other and hold each other accountable, and give each other the effective tools to make sure that we get the stuff done? Because if not, you know, we could have all the best ideas in the world, but if we don't have the execution, it's not going to get done. And so I think it's so important in challenging ourselves to be better executors. So you could be great leaders, but plan and execute your ideas and get those things done. And if you fail, it's fine. My thing is like first attempt in learning. That's what fail stands for, you know? So you fail, you learn, you move on, keep it pushing.
Kind of going off of that, it's kind of like change. We want change, but we kind of don't know how to change it, kind of. We know the problems, but we don't have a plan to execute to perform that, to clear up the problem that we had in the first place. And I think it's at a point where we're finally at a point where we're starting to figure it out, but we're not quite there yet at executing it. And that's what I think is like a big issue right now. And we're finally at that point where we finally realized, oh, this is what we had to do. This is what we're going to do now. And I think that was a problem, but now it's kind of getting fixed. And so that's what I think.
Again, I'm going to go back. So you had said about the oversaturation,
yes,
of leadership.
Yes.
I worry about that as well. I oversee resident assistants, and sometimes I think the position title makes more people interested versus the actual work. So what I always tell them is, like, you're here for the students and nothing else. But sometimes they want the role. Some people are in it. Some people are leading by their heart. And some people are leading just because they want to say that they're in this position of power. And so I think that's the struggle, is like, you have the leaders who are truly in it because they really want to be there for the betterment of students. And then you have the leaders who are there, who think that they're leaders because they're not. They just have a title. And because it's cool, or because it makes them seem this, it gives them this certain like esteem on campus, or it gives them this certain look, or because they're able to go to conferences, or they're able to do this, or they're able to do that. And sometimes it's also about studying for the gram, you know what I mean? Like, let me post this picture saying that I was at this and I was at that. And so I do think that at times it could be a little bit of an oversaturation. I do think that not everyone is always in it for the right reasons. And as it becomes something that becomes more popular and more cool, that we are gonna have to figure out the real from the fake.
So just to start kind of wrapping up, I wanna end with one thing, and everyone can say something, or just a few of you. I want you to imagine that this podcast is being listened to 10 years from today. And I want some folks to talk a little bit about what you would want that person to know or hear.
So what I would want that person to know is that I hope that the climate has changed politically. I hope that that we're way more inclusive overall as a nation, and that if they made all these changes, that I'm proud of them.
Well, from my end, I really would want them to know that we are thinking about them today.
Yeah.
I think for a long time in our country and other generations have always been about themselves and what they can get for themselves in that moment. And I would want them to know that we are thinking about how to revisit some of those areas that we're not doing well. So we're thinking about you, and we hope that in 10 years y'all have figured out a way. Or we have at this table, because that's going to be us. We have figured out a way to do that.
I mean, I would want them to hear, just as we're doing, think about the next 10 years after that. You know, mm-hmm. I think we live in a world where change is just becoming faster and faster, right? So things are constantly developing. Things are constantly evolving. So in order for us to make it past those next 10 years of leadership evolving, you have to be able to foresee, just like we're doing now, right? And at least have those conversations. So I would say, try not to get caught up in your time period, because you're gonna blink and it's gonna be 2030, right? Or 2040, right? And I think leadership is something that is always gonna have its core values, but always has to develop with time, always. Because, you know, it's unrealistic to say that a leader can be efficient and not use technology in today's age, right? It's just, it doesn't make sense, right? So it's important to always look forward and make sure that you're leaving a legacy.
I think for the people that are listening to this 10 years from now, right? Or if somebody was, my thing would be, reflect on your last 10 years. Have you been in positions of power? Have you been in positions of influence? What have you been able to do? What have you been able to accomplish? Have you done it the best way that you possibly could? and reflect. And as we look to the future, I want people to reflect on their past and reflect on the things that have happened and be students of history. Because too often times, if you don't know your history, then you often repeat the same mistakes you have once made or your ancestors have made, and don't do that. You know, if you're looking into the future, you have to understand where you come from. So for me, if you're listening to this 10 years from now, assess, did I do the best job these last 10 years? And for those that have the blessing to have 10 more years, you know, in their life after that, then see how what changes we can make 10 years after that, you know? And so we'll reflect.
Honey Bear here.
I can't.
I just want to say, every person in 10 years, so you're 12. If you're 12 and you're listening to this, I want to say you're welcome, that social and emotional learning is a forefront in all the education. For everyone who's in now positions of power as politicians, I want to say thank you for coming from a place of your heart and leading with the issues that matter. For everyone at this table right now, who I'm blessed to be sitting with, I want to say congratulations. You're doing it, and you're leading where you want to lead because you did the work and you executed. And right now we're making this silent commitment that we're doing it, and we're going to do it. And for all the future 10 years after that, keep doing it. You got it. Come from your heart, and just remember to love.
That is how we are going to end this incredible podcast here in Orlando, Florida. My name is Antonio Talamon. This is Trill or Not Trill, bringing you another dope podcast straight from the mouths of our student leaders and leaders in general. Peace.